Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for March 27th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The New York Times is reporting that Birmingham Southern College, the school led by President Daniel Coleman, the former CEO of GetGo and then KCG, is closing. The private liberal arts school in Birmingham, Alabama, is set to close at the end of May, ending a 170-year run. The school's board of trustees voted unanimously on Tuesday to shut the school. We profiled Coleman about the college and his plans to save it in part two of an interview with him in January of this year. SIBO is celebrating the 20th anniversary of the launch of SIBO Futures Exchange, which opened its doors with 449 VIX futures contracts trading. In 2023, total annual volumes reached 53.7 million contracts. The SEC Historical Society posted to LinkedIn that it mourns the loss of former SEC Commissioner and long-serving SEC Historical Society trustee Roberta S. Carmel. Roberta Carmel was the first woman commissioner. She passed away on Saturday, March 23rd, at 86. To listen to her oral history, go to the Virtual Museum of Financial Regulation. The SEC also issued a statement on the passing of former Commissioner Roberta Carmel. The Federal Reserve Board released the 2023 annual audited financial statements for the Federal Reserve banks, accompanied by unqualified opinions from an independent accounting firm. The statements confirm the absence of material misstatements and provide details on assets, liabilities, and earnings as of December 31, 2023. Total assets amounted to approximately $7.8 trillion, primarily comprising U.S. Treasury securities and mortgage-backed securities. Key financial data includes a deficit of $114.3 billion in 2023, compared to net income of $58.8 billion in 2022. Interest income on securities decreased, while interest expenses on reserve balances increased significantly. The reserve banks recorded a net income of $0.1 billion from emergency credit facilities during the COVID-19 pandemic. Operating expenses were $9.2 billion, with a deferred asset of $133.3 billion representing net excess earnings requiring realization before remittances to the U.S. Treasury can resume. The U.S. Department of Treasury, through its Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, has announced sanctions targeting entities and individuals involved in facilitating commodity shipments and financial transactions for terrorist groups such as the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, that's the IRGCQF, the Houthis, and Hezbollah. These actions aim to disrupt the financial networks supporting these groups. Additionally, the Treasury has sanctioned individuals and entities supporting the Syrian regime through illicit financial transfers, drug trafficking, and the export of Syrian commodities. Meanwhile, the Financial Action Task Force, or FATF, has upgraded the United States to largely compliant in beneficial ownership transparency, recognizing Treasury's efforts to strengthen anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing frameworks. Wilmer Hale is holding a webinar April 4th led by partners Zachary Goldman and Tiffany J. Smith, along with partners Michael Held, Matthew Culkin and Jonathan Urowski, public policy advisors Brian Scretney and Jeffrey Whelan, and associate Nicholas D'Ambra, discussing recent achievements and upcoming priorities in cryptocurrency policy. Topics include legislative developments in 2023, key legislative and regulatory focuses of 2024, and expectations from various regulatory bodies. Participants can ask questions during the webinar, and CLE credit will be available. Register with the link in today's newsletter. The retail industry is undergoing a significant transformation to address restrictions on contracts for difference, or CFDs. Findings from an Acuity study sponsored by ION revealed that 77% of retail brokers are looking to expand into new regions, with 69% targeting growth in institutional markets. Additionally, more than half plan to introduce futures and options as alternatives to CFDs. To enhance operational efficiency, these brokers are investing in technology that streamlines trade workflows from back to front. Download the full report with a link in today's newsletter. Forefront Communications has a video celebrating Women's History Month that features Lane Littman, President Hidden Row Partners, Muriel Adebayi, Chief Marketing Officer, Regnology, Stephanie Minister, Managing Director, Connectivity Services, Liquidity Book, Emma Hillary Gould, reporter, Waters Technology, Lisa Sachs, President, Trillium Surveyor, Lorna Booker, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, Imperative Execution, Manisha Kimmel, Head of Strategic Planning, Low Latency Group, LSEG, Audrey Costable, Senior Analyst, Market Structure and Technology, Coalition Greenwich, Aaron Kelly, Assistant Vice President and Director of Communications, Security Traders Association, Ann Siebert, Chief Executive Officer, Kappus, Linda Middleditch, Chief Product Officer, Regnology, Melissa Watrous, Director of Product, Trillium Surveyor, Anna Hochman, Head of Product Marketing, FactSet, and Molly McGregor, former Global Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, Quantigo. We'll have another video from the JLN Industry Leader Series sponsored by Wedbush from our interviews at FIA Boca 2024, published on John Lothian News later today. The interview will be of Rohit Bhatt, Managing Director, Financial Services, Capital Markets, Digital Assets and Exchanges, Google Cloud. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were Term of the Week, Maturity and Options Lifetime from John Lothian News, Trump Media is Now the Most Expensive U.S. Stock to Bet Against from Bloomberg, and Reddit shares surge a day after options launch, set to nearly double IPO price from Reuters. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a press release from Cboe Global Markets, Inc. Cboe Global Markets commemorates 20 years of Cboe Futures Exchange and VIX Futures Trading. Cboe Global Markets, Inc., the world's leading derivatives and securities exchange network, today marked the 20th anniversary of Cboe Futures Exchange, CFE, and the trading of Cboe Volatility Index, VIX, futures. CFE was launched to provide a liquid and transparent on-exchange volatility futures offering, with VIX futures being the first product listed in 2004. On March 26, 2024, CFE successfully opened for trading, with 449 VIX futures contracts trading on the all-electronic exchange. Based on the VIX index, which has served as a premier gauge for U.S. equity market sentiment since its launch in 1993, VIX futures are among the most actively traded listed volatility futures in the world, with total volumes reaching 53.7 million contracts in 2023. VIX futures, and the addition of VIX options in 2006 were a pivotal first step in making volatility a tradable asset class, breaking down access barriers for investors and paving the way for the development of a comprehensive ecosystem, including additional futures, options, and other exchange-traded products utilizing these derivatives. My comment: how time flies when you're trading volatility. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: the fight for AI talent, pay million-dollar packages and buy whole teams. Search for AI expertise heats up amid a shortage of candidates and as layoffs hit other areas of tech. The artificial intelligence boom is sending Silicon Valley's talent wars to new extremes. Tech companies are serving up million-dollar-a-year compensation packages, accelerated stock vesting schedules, and offers to poach entire engineering teams to draw people with expertise and experience in the kind of generative AI that is powering ChatGPT and other human-like bots. They are competing against each other and against startups vying to be the next big thing to unseat the giants. My comment: maybe the Chicago Bears should hire a whole AI team. They could not be worse than the one they currently have. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: crypto group Copper served sushi off partially clad models. Digital assets company chaired by Philip Hammond held London party after industry conference. The cryptocurrency chaired by former UK Chancellor Lord Philip Hammond hosted a party where guests were served sushi off two scantily clad models, raising new questions about the culture of the industry. Copper, who stores digital assets for customers, held the private party last week at the five-star Mandrake Hotel in London after a large crypto industry conference. My comment: where's a copper when you need one? Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was JPX publishes survey of TCFD disclosure using generative AI from Japan Exchange Group. Second was futures discovery, physical delivery versus cash settlement, a John Lothian News video from our futures discovery video series. Third was Bitcoin mining unlocks Iceland's $9.24 million food import gap from Forbes. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from New York Magazine. The headline: the crypto world has a new villain. Billionaire Barry Silbert is accused of defrauding thousands of people. Should he get to keep their money anyway? Quote, I had no idea who Barry Silbert was or anything until after November 16, 2024, unquote, Eric Asquith told me. That date was when he was pretty sure he had lost his family's savings of $1,052,000. Asquith took what he thought was the sober route into crypto. He didn't buy Bitcoin or other meme tokens. Instead, earlier that year, he moved over cash from his business, just a little at first, then more, and converted it into digital currencies he thought were as good as cash. The digital coins were called GUSD, and each was worth exactly $1 because the company that minted them, Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss's crypto exchange Gemini, backed each one with real money and assets. Gemini seemed different from the rest of the market, with big ads that said crypto without chaos and the revolution needs rules. Asquith was so cautious that he didn't even trade. He just put his $1 million into a kind of savings account called Earn, which paid him about 5.5% a year, far higher than what major banks were offering at the time. He wasn't alone. Among the hundreds of thousands of other Earn customers were a grandmother who invested her entire life savings and a man saving his money for a long-needed surgery. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. KuCoin and its founders face criminal charges over money laundering violations. Prosecutors also allege the cryptocurrency exchange operated an unlicensed money transmitting business. U.S. prosecutors have filed criminal charges against KuCoin and two of its founders, accusing the global cryptocurrency exchange of violating U.S. anti-money laundering laws. The indictment, unsealed Tuesday by prosecutors in Manhattan, charged KuCoin with violating the Bank Secrecy Act and operating an unlicensed money transmitting business, along with related conspiracy charges. Prosecutors also charged two of KuCoin's founders, Chun Gan and Qi Tang, with related conspiracy charges. And then finally, here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Marex files for U.S. IPO after earlier dropping U.K. listing. Marex Group PLC filed for an initial public offering, adding the financial services platform to the UK-based firms going public in the US. The company said in a filing Tuesday with the US Securities and Exchange Commission that it plans to trade on the NASDAQ under the symbol MRX. The offering is being led by Barclays PLC and Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., along with Jefferies Financial Group, Inc., and Keefe, Burnett, and Woods. Terms of the proposed share sale will be disclosed in a later filing when the underwriters begin marketing the shares. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform on which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.